And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 770. We're coming at you on a Tuesday to recap the week 13 NFBC Fab, talk some news and much, much more. In order to help me do so, as usual, my co-host on the show, you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing right, Bubba. Had a couple rough starts to the week for my pitching staff and my main event. But I will say, though, on a better note, congrats on the Rafael Devers trade. I know he's going to help you out. He should help you out pretty well for the Giants. And whether it's first base, DH, whatever, it's going to be a welcome addition to your Giants.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. Thank you. It came out of nowhere. I was literally spending Father's Day at the beach with my daughter, sipping on a High Noon when the phone started blowing up out of nowhere. So I pulled it out of the beach bag and wow, was all I could say. It was pretty exciting stuff there. So let's just get into it. Let's talk Rafael Devers. He gets traded to the Giants in the deal. I like the trade. It was for Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, James Tibbs III, who was the first round pick outfielder at Florida State this past year for the Giants, and Jose Bayo. Harrison went to AAA. Giants get Devers. They keep his whole 8.5 years, $250 million contract. He's supposed to play first base, third base, and DH while he's here. There's footage before Tuesday's game of him taking all the reps at first base. So as I said earlier, before this even took place, the Red Sox come to town this weekend, and it'd be nothing sweeter than to see Devers play first base the entire series against the Red Sox. And I'll be there Saturday, so I cannot wait to see how this reaction goes. But what's your thoughts on this deal? Because in fantasy, you're obviously not doing anything here. Maybe it opens up playing time in Boston that you like. In an NL-only league, you're foaming at the mouth to get Rafael Devers coming your direction. But, like, how do you foresee this, say, in a just playing time, I guess, because he's going to play, but maybe Red Sox version?
Well, yeah, so I pulled up the Giants lineup first, and so tonight on Tuesday, Wilmer Flores is sitting, and he was the DH, so I guess that he is probably the loser for the Giants. I mean, it's going to be between him and Dom Smith for now until no, Smith's playing third base for Chapman, so I guess it's between Smith and Flores for the DH and first base. And Flores hasn't done anything to lose the job. I mean, I know Dom Smith, well, you would know better. He's had some hits since he's been signed by the Giants, but Flores has been big for them all year, so I it'd be weird for them to have Flores lose a lot of playing time. But he is the righty, and Smith is the lefty, so maybe they just go with the strict platoon, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And then with the Red Sox, we get their lineup up. Yeah, they're so young now. Duran's kind of old, but Anthony's 21, Myers 22, Rafael's 24, almost 25, Campbell's 23. But I mean, they're not really a scary lineup right now at all. The Red Sox is have like Duran and Story and all the young guys. I mean, you could argue Narvaez, but he's probably going to cool off at some point. So it's I guess I don't know if I would target Boston in Fenway, but maybe on the road, they'll become more of a streaming target for pitchers throughout the summer, but hard to say for now. It's I thought the timing was interesting because it wasn't close to the deadline. I don't think anyone heard any rumors about the trade. I mean, we knew that things weren't good with Devers and the Red Sox, but to see it happen now and like that, just for the Red Sox to get some players back, I think is a win because it's essentially a signing for the Giants. I mean, they got the full contract of Devers, what's left, I think it's 8 years. And then I think Harrison has some upside still, and I mean, Hicks is probably just going to be a bullpen arm. He can't really handle the rotation, and who knows what the prospects, but yeah, I think it's a good deal for you. Hopefully he ages well, him and Adames. Chapman will be fine, I'm sure, but they have a nice little core going forward for the Giants.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was tweeting out when it happened. I was like, okay, like you do the math. You got Eldridge coming up at first. You have Adames, you have Chapman, you have Ramos, now you have Devers. It's at least 5-man core. Like the Giants might have their first actual DH since the DH was legal in the National League. It's just been a revolving door. There's so many reasons why I'm giddy about this because it brings back, like the more I think about it, like I said, it's a core, which the Giants haven't really had a core since their World Series days. And by no means am I saying they're going to win a World Series right now, but like after 2016, as most of the quote-unquote core started getting old, things just deteriorated from there, and they've been trying to fight that since it happened, basically. So now it's like, okay, here we go. We spent some cash. Posey's bringing the new mindset. They got stuff going on. They got some young pitching still. Like, things are moving in the right direction. Let's see how this continues to play out there. Very tough division, of course. Everyone's asked to stay healthy, and it's the million-dollar thing. A lot of teams like to spend money, so it's not the end-all, be-all, but a step in the right way. Devers is going to play every single day. Can't wait to see him litter McCovey Cove. It's been a while since we've had a consistent lefty doing that as well in the Bay. At the press conference, there was that same lefty with Devers hanging out before the game, which was great to see as a Giants fan. So, obviously, I'm optimistic. Things can go haywire at any moment, but love it for fantasy. Red Sox side of it, we'll see how it plays out. Willier Brayer starting a rehab assignment this week. So that'll happen. It keeps Roman Anthony up. It keeps pretty much everybody in play. And, you know, now Abraham Toro just gets to keep playing, which is great to see. So, and he's raking. He's raking. So enjoy it while you can. I think it'll take a little longer to see the fallout there in Boston, to see how they mix and match the DH position. But your point with the Giants, I think we all knew Flores needed to kind of take some time. Let's put it that way is the nicest way I'll say it. Maybe not play all the time. Maybe it might hurt Jer Encarnacion getting regular at-bats. He hasn't done much with his limited chances, but he could take a big hit here. So I have to kind of wait and see with all of that. But as a Giants fan, pretty pumped on this one. All right, Lance McCullers Jr., freak accident. Joe Musgrove-esque, but not a broken toe, it sounds like. For now, then again, it is the Astros. We'll have to wait and see on that one. They're calling it a sprained foot, slightly below the big toe, I guess, is what they're calling it with McCullers. He's going to be out at least the minimum 15 days. Ryan Gusto made the start on Monday. They're moving pieces around there in Houston. Any thoughts on this one? It's not his arm, which is great, but it's still a really weird, freakish injury.
He's kind of cursed, McCullers. He can't really stay on the field, which is a shame because he was always a pretty good pitcher, but at least it's not his arm. I mean, I think this took Musgrove a long time when he broke his toe, but if it's not a broken toe, it's a little bit different for McCullers. Right now they have – well, Jason Alexander started today as a spot start for the Astros, and then yeah, you have Gordon Brown, Walter Gusto. So it's going to be interesting to see how Gusto does, if Walter and Gordon will be legit or not. We'll have to wait and see. I think I just dropped Gusto in a league, but I'm starting him another one. It's interesting to see what's going to happen. And you say what the timeline was for McCullers?
It's undefined because like they say it's a sprain. They're thinking it's the minimum stint on the IL, but I think they're going to have to kind of wait for swelling and everything. Like that's why I'm still like, is it for sure not broken? Like I'm still nervous when it comes to the Astros on these things. So we'll see. Like it keeps Brandon Walters in the rotation, which I'm pumped about. He gets to face the Angels on Thursday this week. Hopefully, like you said, Gordon as well. Like keep some of these young arms in there, which I'm very excited to see. The Jason Alexander thing will be interesting to your point about Jason Alexander pitching on Tuesday evening against the A's. But there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of young arms getting some more run. But it seems like it's a minimal stint for Lance. But we don't have the exact answer on that. Alrighty, Tyler McGill. This one dropped on Tuesday. Really good stuff if you had him locked into your lineups and you didn't have anybody to replace him with because it was Tuesday and some teams already played on Monday. Yeah, good stuff. Tyler McGill goes to the IL with a sprained elbow is basically what they're calling it for now. He's going to be shut down for essentially 10 days before getting reevaluated, which worries me a lot, to be honest, like a lot that they're just shutting him down for 10 days. I saw somewhere that this is a minimum because they're going to have to ramp him back up. The Mets are already saying this is like a 4, likely 5-week situation with Tyler McGill. So take that into context here. What's your thoughts on this situation? Because if it is 5 weeks, that's a tough hold right now.
It is. I do have McGill in a couple main events. And luckily for the one, I was going to sit him. And then the other one, unfortunately, to your point, I could have removed them today, but I had no one else to fill in that was healthy on my bench that hadn't already locked. So that stinks. But it could be a blessing in disguise because he was supposed to face the Phillies, and I just don't trust McGill at all right now. I've sat him when he's had decent games, and I've started him when he hasn't had decent games lately. I think CBS was saying that he's had like a 6 ERA since May or something like that, which feels about right since I've rostered him in a couple spots. So, yeah, I guess once we get a more – a definitive timeline for McGill, I think at least the way pitching is right now, you kind of have to hold him. So they're saying it's sprain, and then in the note on the NFBC says that it indicates it's damage to the UCL. But like he said, he thinks it's inflammation. Who knows? It's definitely risky.
Yeah, he said there's no lingering damage, but I think it's probably too early to tell that.
Yeah, and we've seen with other injuries that if there's inflammation, it can mask the imaging from fully revealing what's there. At least it's early in the week, and maybe there'll be more news come Sunday, but it doesn't seem too promising. I mean, he's battled injuries in the past, McGill, and his career high is 126 innings, and that was in 2023. And other than that, he's never hit 90. And right now he's at 68. So not promising, but I think just wait and see if any more news comes out during the week.
Yep, I'd wait for more news next week, but I'm kind of expecting the worst. And at the same time, they're saying it's like a 4 to 5 week thing. So honestly, if you need that roster spot, it's probably time to move on in that scenario. But it's a very tough drop because he was pitching very well. When it comes to the Mets, they're going to have Frankie Montas hopefully coming back next week. He has struggled in his rehab, but he should be back pretty soon. They also have Sean Manaea starting his rehab assignment. He's 3 to 4 weeks out when it comes to Manaea. So they have some reinforcements coming, but it's pretty limited there. But I'm with you. It's a hold for now, but potentially a drop coming shortly. Stop me if you've heard this before, Ben. Royce Lewis to the IL with a hamstring injury, soft tissue injury. They're saying it's not bad. He said he wanted to stay and play. The Twins obviously did not want to play that game with Royce Lewis, as it's been a constant problem. So he's out the minimum here. We'll see how it plays out. What's your thoughts here? Because he's been struggling. Kind of started hitting like the last couple days before the hamstring injury, which is really frustrating. But it's been a rough year overall.
This is why I don't bother with Royce Lewis. And, I mean, I kind of feel bad because I think we were saying to keep him to some listeners who were asking questions or to add him potentially if he was available in 12-teamers because of the upside. And I don't know. I don't know if he was injured with the hamstring earlier in the year. I mean, it's always something different with him. It probably was a hamstring knowing Lewis. So if you're pressed for roster positions or, I guess, injured players on your bench, if you don't have ILs like in the NFBC, I could see dropping Lewis. It could just be a lost season for him. He only has 99 at bats and it's mid June. 202 average. And like last year he had 233. So it's not like he was coming off a good year or anything like that. So maybe, like I said, it could be a lost year and just kind of pack it up and move on to 2026. But if it's a mild strain, then he could be back by July maybe. But then you're looking at maybe they wait for the All-Star break to come, and then it's like a month away at that point. So I don't have an issue dropping Royce Lewis if you feel like you have to.
Yeah, no, I'm there. Like, I still believe in the skills. Like, the underlying stats look pretty darn good still, but production's not there. That's the bottom line. That's what you want is production. So if you need to move on, totally get it. Bummer, Great American Small Park this week. So that would have been a cool time to see if he could have maybe got things going. I do want to use this to shout out Brooks Lee, who over the last 16 games has hit safely in 15 of 16, seeing 350, three homers, 10 RBIs, stolen base. Like he's homered in his last two games entering today. He's starting to show some signs of life there, and should get plenty of run. He's played all over the diamond, second, short, third. He's playing everywhere. So he should get plenty of run. Willie Castro's heating up, the mascot from 2025. So there's options to definitely replace Royce Lewis if all things go to the waste. Bowden Francis. This one kind of came out of nowhere. Probably because I have zero Bowden Francis shares because, well, honestly, I've been very, very loud about my anti-Bowden Francis. He goes to the IL with right shoulder impingement. I think we've heard that injury recently, Ben. That's been a common right shoulder impingement thing. Pablo Lopez is the most recent. Maybe Hunter Green had a little shoulder impingement, so on and so forth. I didn't roster Bowden Francis, so it's an easy drop for me. Any thoughts here?
Yeah, he probably should have been rostered in 12-teamers. I mean, I had dropped him in 15s a long time ago, and I remember looking at his underlying metrics on Fangraphs, Francis, and at one point, I think, like, his left on base was the same. Yeah, so look at, even right now, so the only thing that's really up this year compared to last year is his walk rate. It went from 5.4 to 9.4, so that's almost double. That's pretty bad. But like the biggest thing that we were concerned with Francis last year was the BABIP, and it went from 211 to 286. So, and with that, the ERA almost doubled. And the estimators are pretty bad too. So there, yeah, there's no reason to have Francis. And even if you have an IL spot, I don't think he's very good. And should have been gone a long time ago, in my opinion.
Yep. Should have been gone a long time ago.
I will say, though, the replacement, Eric Lauer, is intriguing. I think he's starting on Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know when it is, but I think he's going to replace Francis as a full-time starter.
Yeah, we had that in the Discord here. Let me pull that up real quick. It's a lot easier to find here than elsewhere. Eric Lauer, where's it at? Eric Lauer jump startation and starts tomorrow. He's going to start on Wednesday for the Blue Jays, according to John Schneider. To be determined for Friday. The plan might be Spencer Turnbull joining the rotation, who has he was going to be a long man for the Jays. Now it might be more of a maybe there's an opener, or he's the opener type situation for Toronto. But Lauer goes Wednesday, maybe Turnbull Friday. So two guys to definitely keep an eye on for Fab this weekend. And I like the Lauer shot. He's had his strong moments this year, just been used very inconsistently by the Jays, which has made it hard to roster him for fantasy. Probably kind of what your sentiments might be as well on that one. All right, last bit of news here. I just wanted to bring it up because it is what it is, and you're going to bench the guy. But Jackson Merrill, concussion IL for 7 days, and it was a nasty, just kind of looked like he was pulling a soccer move. Just I need a timeout on the outfield, but it didn't look pretty. He went on the IL. They're saying, you know, it's 7 days. He should be back. But we know how these things can linger, so I just wanted to bring it up. I have really nothing fantasy relevant for you unless you do.
Nothing this year, but kind of in the same vein as Royce Lewis. It might just be a lost year for Merrill. I mean, I forget what the first injury was, and now he's got this. The concussion could linger. I mean, still hitting 304, but only 171 at-bats, so he's probably like 100 off pace of other players. Only 5 homers, 1 steal. Not what you were paying for when you took him in the second round of a 15-teamer. But with that said, I think he will be a good buy next season, Merrill. I think his price is going to drop, depending on how the year finishes for him. And you could be sleeping on a pretty good pick if he goes in like the fourth, fifth round of 15 teamers.
Well, I'd be ecstatic if he's, because that means he's probably seventh round in a 12. I'd be jumping for joy on that one. Because that was my biggest thing with Merrill this year, is not that I didn't like the skills of Jackson Merrill. I just didn't think the skills warranted the price. Because he's hitting for average, but the power and speed, and it could be injury related. He's been so banged up this year. It just never came to fruition. So I think he's more of a 20-20 guy, and where he was going, you want him almost 30-30. That was the problem. So if where you're talking about potentially next year, yeah, sign me up for that right now. If that's the case, I think I agree completely with that take. All right, let's get to the Fab most added dropped players for the week. Going NFBC, 12-team OCs as usual. We'll also talk some 15s in here for the listeners that play all types of formats. And Ben, as expected, the most added player this week on both sites, or both league formats, Jacob Mizorowski of the Milwaukee Brewers. Miz was picked up in 234 OCs for as high as 531, as low as 17. He had two $400-plus bids, a 12 $300-plus bids. Most lived in that $200 range, Ben, when it comes to OCs. In main events, 57 leagues, as high as 321, as low as 84. So to me, it's kind of interesting that 530 in an OC, 321 in a main event, big gap for leagues that you might need pitching more importantly. I don't know. What's your thoughts on the Miz? I got one share, and trust me, I didn't overspend. I got $44, so I don't care about that. But we'll get to that later on. What are your thoughts on this one?
It's a nice buy there. Good job with that bid on Mizorowski. Well, you knew what I was doing this weekend, but I was away this weekend for the listeners. I was on vacation, a weekend vacation, and I had to do my main Fab Thursday night, and Mizorowski wasn't in the player pool when I did that. And I knew he was going to pitch on the weekend, and I didn't even bother adding him back to my bid list. I had Yuri in my bid list because he had pitched earlier in the week, but with Mizorowski, it was two main things. I've heard others talk about other things that I agree with, but for me, the two main things were that he had 4 walks in his first start. He had 5 strikeouts.
5 strikeouts, yeah.
Yep, in 5 innings. So that's a red flag, especially when he had control issues in the minors. And that's why he was kind of relieving for a little bit. And then the other thing is his teammate, well, not current teammate, but Logan Henderson has been treated horribly by the Brewers. And I don't know why they would prioritize Mizorowski. Maybe he's a bigger prospect name. I don't know if that's really going to hold any value or weight to what the team does. But Henderson showed that he has been more than capable of succeeding at the major league level, and he's back in AAA or wherever he is now. So just the way they've treated Henderson kind of scared me off of Mizorowski from even wanting to bid competitively on him. But like, he has the strikeout upside for sure. Mizorowski, he had 80 and 63 innings in AAA so far this year, 127 and 97 last year across a couple of teams. So he definitely has the tools to do really well. It's just, I don't know if the walks will prevent him from doing that well, maybe shorten his outings if he's throwing a lot of pitches. And then if the Brewers don't commit to him being in the rotation all year, I think there's a lot of risk with spending this much money on Mizorowski.
Yep, I'm with you. I think the skills are awesome. It's a lot of Joe Boyle. I've heard that comp. I think it's phenomenal. Because when I was all excited about Joe Boyle last year, it's the dude, yeah, electric, can strike out the world, command's an issue. Now Joe Boyle's command looks a lot better in Tampa, and I don't know, I'm just praying they'll call him up before his innings limit, whatever that's going to be, because he is just dominant. He's basically the Bubba Chandler in the AL right now. If you look at the numbers, it's insane. But that's where Miz is at right now. The talent's through the roof. So that's why I think 44 is my highest bid. Like, that's kind of my standard throughout all my leagues. I put, okay, if I get him for 44, cool. I can live with that. But I'm not breaking banks for that. I'm using the minor league leaderboard from Ryan on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon. It was 63 and a third innings at AAA this year. 2.13 ERA, 109 whip. The 109 whip's very impressive, actually, for a 12% walk rate. It's pretty good. He had a 32% K rate, 19% K to walk, which for the talent he has, it's like if he could just lower his walks to like 8%, now we're talking 23% K to walk, and we're getting better and better. But a 15% swinging strike, 36% ball rate. So it makes me wonder, it's like, it's not a crazy high ball rate. So is he just going deep into counts and struggling there at times? I don't know. Kind of interesting there. But 41% ground ball rate, which was not bad, but 248 BABIP, 84% left on base, 9% home run to fly ball. Like, very, very good stuff. Not downplaying the skills of Miz at all. And if you look at the weekly planner, his upcoming schedule, like the Cubs this week is a tough. They have a 115 WRC plus, but then he gets Pittsburgh and Colorado. He's got like the 30th best pitching schedule coming up this week. And that's like something positive. So there's that. The other part that concerns me, you nailed it. Logan Henderson's been pretty dang good. And Logan Henderson can't even stick with the team. Like, they keep saying, well, maybe it's the innings limit. Let him finish it out in the bigs. Like, what are we doing here? So that is a massive concern as well. I agree. So, yeah, if you wanted to pick him up, cool. You want to spend a bunch of cash, is what it is. I wouldn't have gone that direction. But here we are. I digress. And Miz was a very, very popular ad, and I'm looking forward to seeing how things shake out. And hopefully he doesn't get yo-yoed between AAA, because then, well, Twitter will be awesome if he does, though. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's talk about the second most added player. You mentioned him, Yuri Perez, picked up in 220 OCs for as high as 300. Someone got him for a buck, Ben. Someone. I'm going to actually see who it is. Let's give the drum roll. Who got him for a buck? Please say it's just one team. That's a lot of scrolling. One guy got him for a buck. And I'll shout him out, JPOC8. Congratulations.
No way. You know who that is?
That sounds from John Posma?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Because he also got him for $11 in OC, his third OC. So he got two shares, super cheap. He dropped Chris Paddock and Bryce Elder in those leagues. Yeah, I dropped them too. That's fair. Not going to knock that one. But, hey, sometimes there's being really good. You also got to have some luck on your side. That's the way this works. The other nugget, the main event, Yuri Perez picked up in 55 leagues, as high as 239, as low as 49. So got those going for you. Thoughts on Yuri?
Well, I was surprised that the bids were a lot lower for Yuri. Like I said earlier, I prioritize Yuri over Mizorowski just because he's been in the majors. He succeeded. Of course, he is coming off from the injury, and the Marlins aren't the best team. But I feel like Yuri's probably going to stick around for sure this year. And, I mean, I wasn't bidding in the hundreds or 200s like the other main events were. I did get Yuri on a team. But, yeah, I mean, this is seeing him go for $1 is ridiculous. I can't get over that to John Posma of all people. Yeah. But with Perez, it's just, there's nothing like to look into because he's been out of the, he hasn't pitched in so long and it's only one outing. I mean, yeah, he has like 5 walks and 7 innings so far, but I mean, command is always one of the last things to come back when you return from Tommy John. So I'm not surprised that he has 5 walks and 5 Ks and 7 innings right now. But Yuri should, I think he'll be okay. Yeah, he had two great matchups to start out, Pittsburgh and Washington. But like I said, he's returning from injury, and I think give it a couple more starts, and he'll probably be going 5-6 innings, I'm sure. And I wouldn't be surprised. I expect the K numbers to come up too as he gets more stretched out. But I think Yuri's the safer quote unquote option between the two, just because, like I said, he should be up all year. And one of the things that I'm starting to appreciate more, and I think others have said this too, is that except for in the case of like Sandy, so I guess like next year is probably holds more weight, but now that Yuri's back from his injury, I feel like it should take longer for him to get hurt again, in theory. I mean, but I mean, you never know, but I don't know. I think Yuri could be a pretty good target next year because he's going to have the full recovery timeline now, but I think going forward this year, he should be in the rotation last few months, and the whip might hurt you a little bit because of the walks, but I think the K's will be there eventually.
Yeah, see, I was torn on Yuri because it's kind of similar, I guess, to how I feel with Mizorowski. I guess Mizorowski's not coming off the injury is kind of, I guess, where I wanted him a little different in that regard. It's just with Yuri, we've seen with so many of these TJ guys, not just this year, but in the past, but it's really stood out this year. It takes a while for these guys to get back to reality. Like Strider finally looked good his last start, took him a bit. Sandy's getting better, but he's still not dominating by any means. He's going like 5 innings, which is fine, but it's just going to be tricky to get wins along that way. Yuri's the command issues is the only thing I'm curious about. Same with Miz. Like, there's a lot of similarities between the two. Like you said, it's like pretty much pick your poison. Yuri should have maybe more innings the rest of the way than Miz if you want to go that direction. It'll be really interesting to see how it goes between the two. I literally was low bids on both of them. I don't think I got any Yuri. So that's just how it shook out. I'm interested in them, but I didn't want to overly invest in the two. I might have missed it. Did you say you got a share of Yuri or no?
I did. It was on the low end of the main event bids at one.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, next most added player in the OC's, third most added player, Ben Kasperius, picked up in 142 leagues, as high as 190, as low as $5. See, not even a dollar Kasperius gets through, but Yuri Perez for $1, everybody. That's impressive work there, folks. Very impressive. Kasperius, this was exciting news, especially before Shohei was announced as an opener. But Kasperius did pick up the win behind Shohei, 3 2/3 innings, 2 runs, 2 Ks. I've always been a Kasperius guy. It feels like there's a conspiracy theory to not allow him to pitch, which is very, very annoying here. It is a team that needs starters, but they don't really want to let him run with it, which is annoying. But he might just piggyback Shohei here for a little while, which could be interesting as well. It's a two-step this week. Where are we at on Ben Kasperius?
I think I had bids for him, but the more that I look at him, I'm kind of confused of why the hype's there for him. You look at his season to date, he has 48 innings or 48 Ks in 47 innings, so about a K per inning. But, I mean, I guess he was doing all right when he's going like 4 innings, 3 innings earlier in the season in April. But a lot of 2-inning outings, a lot of ones in there in his game log. And then I pulled up Kasperius' minor league numbers. And before last year, he had a 1.25 whip last year with a 3.35 ERA, which is good. Before that, he was in the 5s with his ERAs, and his whips were in the 1.4s. So I don't think he can't be a big prospect with numbers like that. I mean, he had decent K numbers compared to his innings, but that's about it. So I think maybe it's the Dodger tax, and then he's going to be the follower for Ohtani. And he has a 2-step this week, Kasperius, so he went yesterday versus the Padres, and he gets the Nationals on Sunday. So I get the appeal there, but I don't know if he's worth, I was like in the 20s and teens because of where I was with Fab, and there's a lot of bids that are above that, and even in the OC. So I don't know. I'm willing to get proved wrong, but I think I feel like he's kind of falling into the Birdsong and Festa and Zebby hype, where it's just like someone that we don't know how he's going to do, and everyone's excited because of the unknown. I just don't see how Kasperius is. I get there's potential, but I'm not convinced that I don't think the chance of him being really good is that high, is what I'm trying to say. I think there's a lot of risk still with him because in the minors, he wasn't even that good of a pitcher.
I like the Birdsong Festa pocket. You just put him in there. That makes a ton of sense. Like, I think we see the young skill set and we want to be very optimistic about it, but there's a lot of questions. Is he really that good? Will we know if he's really that good? Because given a chance to be that good, so on and so forth, there's a lot of questions there. So that's why I didn't get a ton, because I liked him a lot, but people wanted him more than me. Let's put it that way, at least in my leagues. And that's just how it works out. I'm always a timid guy. We talk about this a ton on this show, that I really pick my battles, I guess, on these. And I wasn't going to break the bank for him, who I feel like he's not going to be stuck in the rotation, which is very frustrating, which you mentioned. And that's where it is. But we'll see. He could get two wins this week, and that could have been very valuable if things all shake out that way. And we've seen that happen time and time again. That's why you take those chances from time to time to pick up those dubs. Shelby Miller. This is a guy I actually spent some money on this week, and it felt dirty, but we did it. Shelby Miller's picked up on 118 OCs for as high as 234, as low as $11. Pretty proud of the OCs for not letting that sneak by. He was picked up in 15 main events, high as 245, as low as 63. Shelby Miller is not allowed to run in his last 8 outings. He's not allowed to run in 10 of his last 11. He has not allowed to run in 13 of his last 15, Ben. He's been very effective out of the back of that bullpen, over a K per 9. He has 7 saves. He's got 2 saves in his last 4 outings, 8 holds and 3 wins, if you want to go there. Shelby Miller's been great, Ben. He's been really good out of the bullpen. But more importantly, let's not just bury this one. Justin Martinez, Tommy John, AJ Puck's just about – it's like that gif with the Grim Reaper walking down the hallway. Like, he's just chopping him off. Now it's your turn, Shelby. And so let's see if Shelby can hold on right now. So there's really no one here unless Kevin Ginkle down his leg shows up here and takes it from him. So I was actually very interested in Shelby Miller right now.
Yeah, this one's pretty cut and dry. He's the closer now for the Diamondbacks. And we got news that AJ Puck is with Dr. L. Attach, try to reattach UCLs together. And J-Mart, unfortunately, is out for the year. So my love is fading for him. It's a lost season for J-Mart, but I'll come back. Well, it's actually a second Tommy John, which is very concerning.
To be real, though, you were debating between J-Mart and AJ Puck. In the end, J-Mart still might have been the better valuable one out of the two.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so to your point, yeah, between those two.
I remember that was your argument. That was your, like, in your brain during your drafts. That's who you're deciding between. So in theory.
He made it longer into the year. So yeah, I'll take that W, I guess. But all those DCs can't add Shelby right now, unfortunately. If you needed saves, I think Miller was a great target. Unfortunately, he has been going to my main events. But in that one main event where I have J-Mart, I was able to get Will Vest when Vest became a thing. So, and luckily, knock on wood, that the news with Vest's pinkies is good. So yeah, with Miller, I think it may have been, I forget which pot it was, but someone speculated that he could either be traded at the deadline or he would be replaced by someone, potentially Miller, depending on how the D-back season's going, which is a good thought. But at this point in the season, I mean, it's like a month away. So maybe you only get him for a month, but I don't know. The Diamondbacks, I don't know how they've been with the payroll, but they didn't really make a move. They had Puck and J-Mart, I guess. So they had options for their closer, but there's a small chance Miller may lose his job eventually, but you can't worry about that right now. You just got to kind of have to go with who's available and take it from there.
You got to pretend like the D-backs can make a run at a wild card and they want to go for it. And if that's the case, Miller's going to be pretty valuable at the same time. Could get flipped and that'll sting. Like you said, you can't play for that right now. The D-backs are like, they're in that limbo where they're kind of like the fourth best team in the division right now, but kind of like, well, I don't know. The Padres are slumping too. So they're close. Like they're in the battle and they have like 5 or 6 guys that are going to be free agents next year, big time guys. So it's either they could just sell the world or they go for it. They'll be a very interesting team to watch the next couple of weeks to see how they play it out. But yeah, Shelby, it's that time of the year where you're going to get guys that get runs at closers. You're not going to get many that are penciled in to close the next 3.5 months, barring a trade. That's tough to find right now. So I'll take my chances. Brandon Walter, love seeing this. Picked up in 117 leagues, as high as $56, as low as $1 in the OC. He's been talking about Walter the last couple fab shows with Ryan Bloomfield. Sneaky good stuff here. 6 2/3, 1 run, 9 Ks in his last start against Minnesota. He's had at least 5 Ks and 2 earned runs or less in all 3 starts he's been in, Ben. And before I give you the torch here, what I wanted to pass along as well, looking at the minor league leaderboard for Mr. Brandon Walter at AAA this year, dude pitched 47 2/3, a 2.08 ERA, 24% K to walk, had a 4% walk rate, which is pretty impressive, and a 61% ground ball rate. So really good stuff there for Brandon Walter, not to mention against the Angels this week. So what are you seeing with Brandon Walter? Because I was kind of like, I was partly nervous because this was before McCullers got hurt. So they could be like, oh, no, we're done with the 6-man. See you, Walter. then when McCullers went on the IL, I'm like, we're in. So felt a little, it was after the fact, but we're in.
Yeah, I missed out on Walter this in general before this fab period. I was looking at my leagues, my fab leagues, and he was added in two main events last week, and then the other two, well, the one last main event in my listener league this past Sunday. But yeah, when you see a 19, where is he? It's a 19-1 K to walk so far in 17 innings. That's gonna, that's pretty eye opening. It amounts to a 0.91 WHIP and a 1.53 ERA in those three starts that he's made so far. We've talked about McCullers being on the IL. This kind of secures Walter's spot in the rotation for the Astros going forward. Yeah, so the one thing that kind of caught my eye is that he's an old rookie. He's 28, almost 29. So that's a little, well, he pitched 2023, but he didn't pitch at all in 2024. So I'm assuming he had like a pretty significant injury to miss the season last year. And that in 2023, he struggled with a 4.6 ERA in the minors, 1.43 WHIP. But yeah, I mean, for now, with the way pitching's, like we were complaining about pitching before we recorded, and we had a handful of injuries again, as we talked about at the start of the show, you kind of just got to take a chance. And I wish I was more aware of Walter myself. I would have, could have used the help that he seems to be providing right now. But of course, there's going to be a bump in the road because he's not going to maintain a 1.5 ERA and a 0.9 WHIP going forward. There's going to be some rough patches, and you'll probably have them in your lineup. That's how these things go. But for now, you kind of got to take that chance.
Yeah, because like I'm all excited this week versus the Angels, but the next week he is the Cubs. Not as excited. Like I know they've been quieting down a little bit at the plate, but still not excited about that one. So I'll have to wait and see. Maybe just a streamer at this point in time. Jeff McNeil picked up in 114 leagues, as high as 81, as low as a dollar. Entering Tuesday, McNeil hit safely in 14 of his last 16 games, Ben, hitting .316 with 5 home runs over that stretch, walking 7.7% with a 6.2% strikeout rate. Looked pretty impressive at the plate, to be totally honest, with McNeil. I've never bought into the success. I'm like, nah, he's going to get hurt again. They just platoon. There's too many hands in the cookie jar, but he's playing great right now. What are your thoughts on Jeff McNeil, who was a very popular ad this week?
Oh, I pulled up his player, his weekly stats, and I could see why McNeil's a big ad in the OCs. 5 homers over the last 3 weeks. And then I went to, of course, I had to verify this, so I went to his StatCast page, and McNeil has more home runs than barrels. He has 7 home runs in the year and 6 barrels. And the power metrics are pretty poor for him, of course, so I think yes, he's getting a little lucky.
A couple of those home runs came in Coors, by the way. A couple of those came in Coors.
Oh, okay. Well, that's there you go. That's even though Coors is in the best homer park, it's they had 3 there though. But I mean, yeah, it's more about their pitching than anything, because Rockies have horrible pitching. So I think you probably have missed Jeff McNeil's best stretch of the season right now if you just added him in an OC. Well, even with the Mets, they have a lot of bodies right now for second and third base and DH. McNeil's back at playing the infield. It looks like he's been second base last 2 games he started. They have Nimmo out there, Soto, and Tyrone Taylor's playing center field. I think McNeil's playing center too at some games. But I guess if Bientos comes back, they might have to make a decision between Beatty, Mauricio, McNeil. I don't know how that would go. Maybe they send Bientos down if he's healthy. But yeah, I'm not buying the power from McNeil. The barrel rate's not supporting it. The hard hit's not supporting it. So it's, I mean, he could be an average asset if that's what you're looking for. But if you're looking for power, I don't think anything's changed for him.
Yep, you nailed it. Like, I've always believed in the batting average skills from Jeff McNeil. Power, I've never believed in. So it's kind of like one of those, yeah, he's been hot. Might have missed the best. Like, he has 3 at the Braves and 3 at the Phillies this week. Not the easiest road to success. So I get it if you're looking at box scores and you want to shoot for a guy maybe figuring it out. But just be careful what you wish for. Evan Carter picked up in 100 leagues, as high as $200, as low as a buck. I was interested in Evan Carter. We're available, not really often in my leagues, it felt like. Since Carter's recalled from AAA on June 3rd, Ben, Carter's hitting .387, 3 homers and 2 steals. He banged up his wrist diving, came back and played on Sunday, hurt his foot, fouling a foul ball today, stayed in the game. Seems like I just don't want to watch his games. That's what's going to look like with him. He's always getting banged up, it feels like. But I can't deny it. This is a guy that a couple postseasons ago took the world by storm, Ben. Everyone was excited in draft season. Gets hurt. Don't see much of him in 2024. Gets hurt here in 2025. We're starting to maybe see it, or might this just a short sample? I'm too optimistic.
I mean, it's all we have to work with, but you know that I was a fan of Evan Carter as a Flyer where he was going in draft season. And this is annoying to me because I added him when he came back off the IL the first time, and then I had to drop him when he got hurt again. And I don't know if I was able to add Carter back in any teams. And what he just did this past week is why I was interested. He had two homers and I believe two steals in 18 at-bats. And he had seven runs, five RBIs. He had hit 444 this past week. He had 308 the week before when he came back. He hit that homer. So now he has four homers and five steals over 64 at-bats on the season, Evan Carter. The only question is the lefty playing time. They faced one lefty, the Rangers, since Carter's been back, and he sat that game. But I guess the platoon in that game was Haggerty. And so he's basically been the fill-in whenever Carter hasn't played Haggerty. And I think he's a switch hitter, so I could see that happening. But I still don't think it makes sense to – Carter's still pretty young. I feel like the Rangers should just try to give him a chance. But, I mean, we can say it's about tons of players, tons of young lefties, and teams still will platoon them. But this is why I was big on Carter, and I have him in a DC at least, but I wish I had him in my fab leagues because I think he could be a pretty big pickup going forward.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really liked what we saw. If he can stay healthy, he could be very, very good. They're playing him all the time, as you mentioned. We're seeing the power. We're seeing the speed. We're seeing the play discipline, 11% walk, 11% K since he got recalled on June 3rd. Like, a lot of things to like with Evan Carter. And, yeah, hopefully it sticks around. This one made me chuckle because we've done this roller coaster about three or four times already this year. But the good doctor, Calvin Fauché, picked up an 82 or in 98 leagues, as high as 87, as low as a dollar. Fauché has three straight saves. He has five saves in his last eight outings. So he looks like he's back in the closing seat. We've done this, like I said, a few times. He actually got the last save because Bender had to get pulled because he couldn't finish it. Bender was set up to get the save. So again, grain of salt with that, but it looks like the good doctor might be in store for some more visits to the mound to get some saves here. I was not interested though.
I'm not buying it. Henriquez. Yep. I didn't believe it when he was added. I've added Fauché this year. I've added the guy who was hurt. What's his name? Tinoco. I've had him on my teams. If don't waste fab on the Marlins closer, So per Ross Resource, Freddie Tarnick has the most recent save for the Marlins. So, and that was on Sunday. Yeah,
It was his MLB debut. Yeah, he got called up and got the save. Yes, I remember this now. A couple days
ago. Yeah, but Fauché did work back-to-back leading up before that, so I could see that's why. But the one was only a four-pitch save, which I guess to your point is when he took over for Henriquez or whoever it was. But yeah, it's a waste of fab in my opinion. Don't mess with the Marlins closers. They don't have one.
No, that's the thing. If he figures it out, so be it. But you're going to spend a lot of money going back and forth on that train. It's very, very stressful on that situation. Speaking of which, honestly, I'd rather have Calvin Fauché than this next one. Ryan Pressly was picked up in 82 leagues, as high as 101, as low as a dollar. Pressly came in and got a save three outings ago. Palencia's gotten a save since then. Palencia pitched the eighth against the 2-3-4, and then Pressly came in and got the save. So it's called read the situation on that one. Porter Hodge is also recovering. He should be back. He's starting to rehab as well. But Palencia has been lights out good, like really good. Presley's not taking his job. If Pressly takes his job, fire everybody in Chicago. So this one, I'd rather have Fauché than Pressly right now.
Oh, man, that's – I'm still like never Marlins. But, yeah, looking at Presley's stats, he hasn't had a – get a lot of runs since week seven when he had that disastrous 9-run outing with a 72 ERA
against the Giants. Yep.
No, and that was pre-Devers. So there you go.
Pre-Devers. Imagine if he might have been in retirement by now. I was kidding.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing the note about Hodge. So I don't know. Like, even on the year, Pressly has 19 Ks and 11 walks in 20 innings. That's terrible. But, I mean, he has been better the last few weeks, like I was saying. Even the Ks have kind of ticked up a little bit. But what were the prices? He was 101's a lot. And a lot in the 20s and teens. So it's not that bad. Those couple high bids kind of skew the numbers. So I guess if you want to take a flyer on him, but it's got to be a cheap flyer on Pressly. Because I feel like he's got to – He's a closer, so he hasn't done anything to lose the job. If anything, it would be Hodge taking over not Presley, I think.
Agreed. Like I'm worried about Hodge, not worried about Presley. Like I said, Presley's the one that takes over that whole mix. Fire everybody. Slate Ciccone. This one, he's well gone in 15s by now, but picked up an 82 OCs, as high as 45, as low as a dollar. Ciccone has a two-step this week. He starts tonight, Tuesday night, in San Francisco. Sunday gets the Sacramento Athletics. When you look at Slade Ciccone, it's been five innings or more and four out of five starts, three in runs or more and four out of five, and he has six Ks or more and three out of five. So there's signs of good things and signs of, where were you at on Slade Ciccone? Because I know I ended up with a few shares, not on the top of my list, but I got him. So we're rolling this week. But where are you at on him?
He was scooped up in main events in weeks 9 and 10. Actually, week 10 was my listener league, but it was week 9. So it's been a few weeks since I was able to add Ciccone. But he was dropped in one of my mains last week, and I was outbid this past Sunday, unfortunately. I think this is probably because of the two-step that he has, yep. But Ciccone gets a
Giants and A's.
Well, the Giants are like the 27 Yankees now. They have Devers, but
I'm going to be so insufferable if it happens. I swear. I'm waiting for it to backfire and just eat all the crow. I'm just so ready for it.
No. It's too early to be negative, Bubba. Come on. Give it time. But the Athletic start is not appealing because that's in Sacramento, and that's a 4:05. Well, it's 4:05 my time, so it's right in the heart of the day. It's going to be hot.
Yes.
But he has good underlying numbers, Ciccone. He's been a little unlucky with the ERA of 4.2, WHIP 1.34, 28 to 8K to walk in 25 innings. That's pretty good. I think that would I don't have his Fangraphs up, but I think that's a pretty good underlying ERA estimators based on those ratios. So I like it. I just think it could be a rocky two-step depending on how tonight goes. And then I think maybe you want to have him get skipped on Sunday and wait for the Monday start next week, because I think the A start could be ugly for Ciccone.
Yeah,
I like him though. Skipped. I think he's a good ad, but
Ciccone's two-steps have been messed with a few times this year. Like he missed the Yankees all of a sudden that one week. Like he's been hooked up a few times. So we'll see how that one goes. David Festa picked up in 77 leagues, as high as 77, as low as a dollar. I like the skills. I hate the usage. He had a two-step at Great American Small Park tonight, where he went 3 2/3, four runs, two earned, three walks, and four Ks. He gets to pitch against Milwaukee on Sunday. I know people wanted him for the two-step. I wanted nothing to do with this two-step. Where are you at on David Festa now? Like, we've seen a handful of starts with Pablo out. We talked about it last week. He's going to stick for a while, so that's another reason to add him, not just the two-step. Like, now you know he's in the rotation, so that's a plus. Where are you at on Festa? I am so annoyed with Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah, he had been gone for me this past Sunday. I think I did add him in the listener league last week. I don't remember if I started him, but I think one thing that helped Festa too is that his start going into this Sunday was pretty good. He went six innings against the Rangers, who are a favorable matchup right now because they haven't been hitting well. Only four Ks, two walks. He got the win though, Festa. So I think that kind of helped people get back in. And I know that there's still some upside, but it's got to be a cheap ad for me. I'm not going to – like I said, I mentioned Festa before with Kasperius. It's in that same hype bucket where the skills and everything else don't really support all the fab that gets thrown at these guys. But I get the two-step stream, and maybe you want him to get skipped on Sunday as well. I don't know. But I thought Milwaukee is – they're okay, but they can blow – I don't know. They can blow up a starter. I forget who they did blew up. Like one of my guys got hit hard by them, I think, last week, and it was very annoying. But
the trend.
It's home. I mean, in Minnesota, it's a okay place to pitch. But Festa is he's in uncertainty, and like there's no guarantee that he's going to be good. So I get the risk with the two-step. It's just keep your expectations low.
Agreed. A couple more here. I want to talk about Max Muncy, the Sacramento Athletic Max Muncy. Picked up in 67 leagues, as high as 66 bucks, as low as a dollar. Muncy returned to the A's on June 4th, Ben. He's hitting .273 with four home runs, 11 ribbies, and a steal. Still striking out 29%, which could be a little concerning, but playing every day. He's now second base, shortstop, and third base eligible, which is tremendous. I was interested in Muncy this week, very, very interested in Muncy this week, especially with seven games in Sacramento this week. And I mentioned it to like Ryan a few weeks ago because we do that schedule all the time. Since they're sharing the park with the Rivercats, if you watch the A's schedule, and I haven't looked ahead, but it's still been this way. It's a week at home, a week on the road, a week at home, a week on the road. So it's not like a three-game here, three-game. it's basically a week at a time, which makes sense if you're trying to share a park. So this works out in theory with Muncy. Where were you at on Maximus Muncy?
I did not add him anywhere. He was added in a handful of main events, but kind of how I said earlier, I was just away from my computer most of the weekend, so it was hard to stay on top of everything. But it makes sense. He had two homers week 11, Muncy, two last week. He had a steal last week. Yeah, you kind of mentioned the K rate. The averages weren't the best, but if you're providing some power and speed, you can deal with like a 240, 250 average. Three positions, corner and middle, with both middle infield eligibilities for A's Max Muncy. And is there a platoon? No, he's playing versus lefties, so that's good.
Playing every day. Yeah, he's hitting like
fifth. Yep, but then that's a pretty good spot. The only thing, though, is kind of like with McNeil, the stat cast isn't really supporting what he's doing, but he is hitting in a favorable park, so that could much be like the Coors boost. Five homers, seven barrels. A little fortunate, but it's a small sample. And he has some speed, so I guess I feel like he's kind of like a Tovar, but not as – actually, he has a pretty Tovar-like K rate. So maybe he's like Ezekiel Tovar. Some power, some speed, and the park helps hide some of the flaws that he may have.
It's like an eighth or ninth round pick, too. So that works. you take that. I want to ask you about the Braves situation here. That brings up Dylan Lee with Raisel Iglesias being moved out of the closers role for now. Dylan Lee was picked up in 64 leagues, as high as 81, as low as a dollar. Now the Braves have not had a save in over a week now, so it's been kind of tough to gauge. Dylan Lee has got some of those reps late. He hasn't allowed a run in his last like eight outings, 32 Ks and 31 innings pitched. What were you? I was just avoiding the situation because I think Raisel gets it back eventually, so I wasn't going to go crazy here. Where are you at on this Braves closing situation, this carousel? Because I guess outside of just Lee, you could probably even maybe target like a Pierce Johnson if you wanted to.
He might make more sense, Johnson, because he's closed in the past and he is right-handed. Yep. If you go to Roster Resource, they have five closers on their depth chart for the Braves, which is pretty funny.
Says it all.
It's like we're back in DC season when we don't know what's going to go on 4 months from now. Reliever Recon has Lee at the head of the committee, but it's just him and Iglesias in the committee. They don't have Johnson included, which is interesting. But to your point, I mean, like Iglesias is the guy, and it'd be like the Braves want to contend. I feel like Iglesias as the closer is their best shot of doing well. And the one good thing is that Iglesias' xFIP is 3.56, and what's his Sierra? Sierra is 3.07. Wow, that's really good. Those are both really good. So I think he's just been unlucky, and maybe they give him a break, and then Lee never gets a save. But it's a lot of money to be spending. Well, I guess there's actually a lot of teens and single digits, so it's definitely a spec play. But if you're spending $81, you have to have Iglesias on your team, I'm hoping.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's kind of reckless to be spending that much on a guy who hasn't even gotten a save yet, and you're just hoping that he will get the saves. But as insurance, it makes sense. I've done similar things in the past. But so, yeah, if you did add Lee, I wouldn't expect to get any saves anytime soon. I think it's just as much of a flyer as you can get.
Totally agree. All right, I'm flipping the script. We're going to look at max bid players and see what the guy here, Mizorowski, obviously the highest. There was one Spencer Strider share out there. Benny went for $310. How much would you – if you – like, what percentage of your budget would you have spent if Strider was available in a league for you?
That's a pretty good question. I would probably – so I was kind of like in the 200, 300 range, I think, going into this past week. Man, that's tough. Maybe 150?
Yeah.
But, I mean, his last game was versus the Rockies, so
– yeah, helps.
Take that
helps
for what you will. Versus real teams like your Giants, 5 Ks, 3 walks, six innings isn't a – isn't anything to write home about. So I don't know. Maybe he's not giant, bad yet.
That's Giants BD before Devers. Got to clarify these things. Roman Anthony picked up in three leagues as high as 307, as low as 163. Those seem fair. 163 sounds shorter than I thought. Hayden Birdsong picked up in four leagues as high as 222, as low as 21. Again, like Birdsong, 222 is insanity, people. Like, let's just real quick. It was 272, 26, 21. Okay. Even 72 is a bit. I could live with that. 222 is pretty wild stuff there, Ben. And you've kind of hinted at that. Sandy picked up in nine leagues as high as 177, as low as six. Jordan Beck as high as 137 in three leagues. Casey Mize, 129. Jung-Hoo Lee for 127. What would you do with Jung-Hoo Lee? Because this is a guy, when healthy, he's going to play every single day, hits for average, has some pop, hits third or fourth. With Devers, who knows? But, like, we just talked about Roman Anthony going for 307 and 163. Like, where do you – or Jordan Beck going for 137. What would you kind of – where would you put Jung-Hoo Lee in that mix?
Well, I would not have bid 137 on Jordan Beck.
True.
I think Roman was overbid on as well, considering how bad he's been. He's been called up. I don't get why the price stayed where it was when he first got called up. Well, to be fair, I think Roman was already added or held on to a lot of leagues. I think he was a very popular draft target, at least in the main event. I think he was taken in every main event, so no one could add him this past weekend or whatever it was.
In OCs, he was held in all but like those three leagues. He was not in.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, so he was coveted everywhere. But with Lee, so I'm looking at his stats. I haven't been to DC where it's just kind of been set it and forget it. With him, so I don't have Lee. I haven't really made any decisions to like start sit with him. But he has six homers, six steals, 265. Maybe I would have bid in the 80s or 70s for Lee. I wouldn't have gone above 100, I don't think.
All right, good to know. A couple others just for fun here. Verlander picked up in 13 leagues as high as 126. He's back this week, still wouldn't have done it. Miguel Vargas is still sitting around for as high as 123. Willie Adames, as high as 121. That's interesting. Victor Scott as high as 109. Anybody else stand out to you? I'm not going to keep reading. Luke Weaver's there. He's coming back. Do you think Weaver takes his job back from Devin Williams?
We'll talk about Weaver when we get to our fab ads.
All right. That's a yes from you then. well, anybody else? Well, actually, I'm going to flip the script again on you. I got the main event up here. So we talked Miz. We talked Perez. We talked Max Muncy. He was the third most added in main events. Nolan Gorman was picked up in 41 leagues. I think it was Brendan Donovan insurance. He had home runs last week. There's some questions there. But I want to get your thoughts on Christian Moore of the Angels, picked up in 39 leagues, as high as 111, as low as a dollar. Moore's a player I like a lot. He also wasn't super aggressive in FAG and 12s. He wasn't even added many places. But really good prospect, very young prospect. He's played four games, picked up his first hit in Yankee Stadium. They're letting him play every day, hitting ninth. Where were you at? Because he was widely available in your 15s.
Yeah, he's someone who I didn't update my list to add. I do have more in a DC. I have not started him yet. I don't know. He's been okay. I think the start was nothing to like, but it's only been a weekend of worth of stats. He's 1-for-10 going into tonight. So you can't really say much yet, but yeah, he's only 22, Christian Moore. I guess like any standard rookie spiel that I would give or you would give kind of holds true here. Where's he batting? He's batting ninth, which hurts. So yeah, I think the bids are pretty low for Moore. Well, the 111's not high, but yeah, there's a lot of teens and single digits in the main event. So people are just kind of taking a cheap flyer, which I can sign off on if you need second base help. But I feel like second base has kind of been a pretty good position to fill this year. I don't think Moore's going to gain eligibility anywhere else because he has played second in his starts so far with the Angels. But, yeah, I mean, he has some upside. He should play. Who's he taking over for, I guess?
Mankato's on the IL. At second base was Chris Taylor went on the IL. Scott Kinger is playing second base.
Harris got sent down.
Yeah, it's been a mess. It's been an absolute mess with that team.
So, yeah, so he could stick all year more. But
he should. He should get plenty of run.
Yeah, but like with any rookie, what's the line going to look like at the end of the day? So,
agreed.
Just don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, I hope he's kind of like mediocre this year, because then I'll be all over him next year with that experience. Like, okay, he's got a half season under his belt. Let's dance. But we'll see. All right, Ben, let's recap our pickups of the week. Whenever you are ready, the floor is yours to let us know what you picked up this week.
I'm enjoying the banter in the comments section right now. Saw that.
Yeah.
All right. So New Jersey, Maine, this one is dying slowly or quickly, however you want to put it. But this is where I got Eury Pérez. Ironically, I dropped Eric Lauer, but it was 74 to 58. So a relatively cheap bid for Eury. Figured, why not? See if he can give some life into this team. And then I added Gavin Lux, dropped Dylan Carlson. I actually dropped Gavin Lux a couple weeks ago. I got him 4-4. So the bad side of the unicorn bid, because my team stinks. Main event two. Yuri went for 215 in this one. Oh, this one had Kikuchi. He went for 159. I kind of want a Kikuchi here, but I was not paying 159. I got to save my money. This one's a little bit cheaper. I added Mitchell Parker, dropped Michael McGreevy 6-1. I added Logan Allen, dropped Cal Quantrill 6-0. I added Alec Thomas, dropped Leody Taveras 6-6. And then I added Cade Smith, dropped Pablo Lopez 2-0. This is where I'm punting saves, and I just need some bodies to throw in there for my pitching staff. And I figured Cade Smith is as good as any of a reliever, so why not? Main event three. I added Alec Thomas again here, dropped Leody Taveras 14-10. Then I added Quinn Priester, dropped Ryan Gusto 12-10. I was actually adding Priester for his start next week, but because of injuries, I ended up playing him this week. So hopefully Priester stays hot. Then here's where I added Luke Weaver. So I added Luke Weaver, dropped Justin Martinez 2-1. I did this before we knew the news on Will Vest. I was trying to take some there wasn't anyone really available in this main event. Miller was gone, and like I said earlier, with the other stuff, like the other situations like the Marlins and the Cubs, I don't trust anything's going to happen there. But Weaver's been pretty good in his rehab. He joked that he would be able to pitch today if he was activated. But I think he's like 2 weeks away, maybe a week. I think the timeline on the NFBC of the 30th is kind of maybe the 6 week time frame. I forget when he first got hurt, Weaver, but
yeah.
At this point, I'm kind of hoping that he does take over for Williams. I hate to say that to you, Bubba, but because of this main event. But
I think he will, honestly. Like, Williams has been good, but he's not dominating. Weaver was dominant.
Yes. His numbers, he had a 105 ERA and a 0.7 whip. He had 24 Ks and 25 innings. But, yeah, after what he did for them last year, Weaver, I think there's a chance they go back to him, but it's nothing for certain. And then last ad here for this team was Henry Davis. I added him 2-0, dropped Willie MacGyver. The MacGyver thing that kind of didn't really work out. He's kind of in an every other day platoon thing. And lastly, my listener league, I added Elder, dropped Tyler Anderson 6-1. Just have Elder on my bench, see what happens.
That's fair. Like those are the kind of moves like my boring ass likes to make. It's like, I'll get a cheap pitcher, I'll stash him, maybe he figures it out. It's a drop I don't mind making. Anderson's been regression has finally sunk in on that man.
Yes.
His last like four starts. We kind of all knew it was coming. Hopefully they weren't all in your starting rotation, but it's all I'm going to say because
– No, he's been glued to my bench in this league. So it was okay, just good, get rid of temptation of using him.
Good call. All right, for me, first OC, this is where I had Justin Martinez. I should have dropped him. Didn't drop him yet because they didn't actually say he was getting TJ at the time. Picked up Shelby Miller, dropped Cade Povich, who went on the IL. Got Shelby for 121, runner-up of 83. I will take that all day long at that price tag with the runner-up as well. That was the beat Bubba OC, sorry. In my other OC, I picked up Lucas Giolito, dropped Justin Martinez in this one, 4-0. Giolito looked great in that first two-step. Got Slade Ciccone, dropped Yu Darvish, 4-1. Added Luis Rengifo, dropped Will Benson, 4-4. So I'm pretty happy with the three bids in that league this week, all things considered. One of my 12-team standalones, Brooks Lee dropped J.P. Crawford 6-0. Crawford's been great. Didn't need a shortstop. That was the problem. Like, I wasn't using him. He's on my bench. This is where 12s differ from 15s, Ben. You never drop Crawford in a 15. Never, ever drop him in a 15. In a 12, he's literally just wasted away on my bench. It's like, okay, well, I need Lee to give me flexibility in the corner. We're moving on this one, weirdly enough. Picked up Lucas Giolito, dropped Cal Quantrill 6-0. Cal served his purpose. Added Slade Ciccone, dropped Ben Brown 6-0. As Ben Brown has been a roller coaster of emotions. Pitching okay tonight, though, against the Brewers. In my Vegas league, got Jacob Mizorowski, dropped Dennis Santana 44-31. So there's the $44 Miz in the Vegas league, which still had like 20 ads this week. And this is one of the craziest leagues I've been in. Ryan and I, we talked about it recently on a Patreon episode we did where it's like the winning team might not get over like 85 points. It is tight. It is a pretty dang good league. Bubba in the Bloom Listener League picked up the A's. Max Muncy dropped Leody Taveras, who got DFA'd. 44. He's back in AAA now. 44-22 on that one. In my OLAC, which is another tight league right now, got Quinn Priester, dropped Cal Quantrill 6-2. Priester's been looking at his game log has been really impressive, really, really impressive of late. So I'll take him all day and twice on Sunday in 15s. All right, my friend. No listener questions, because that's what happens as this season gets deeper into the fold. Any final thoughts as we are entering week 14 fast? We are literally like at the midway point. Like come Wednesday when people listen to this, probably like technically the midway point of the season when all things are said and done.
It's wild. So wild.
Goes so quick.
You always like kind of expect it, but then like as it happens, it's like, wow, here we are. But yeah, I just hope that I'm gonna be jealous. My pitchers do better in the rest of the week than they have tonight in that main event. But it's a 4 starts, but I have 11 to go, so I have a lot of or 7 to go. I have a lot of time to make up what I've lost tonight.
Yeah, and to your point though, is a lot of bad pitching because I've taken a hit. Like in that OLAC I talked about, I've been in second and third place for a couple of weeks. I dropped into 10th after yesterday's debacles. I lost 5 points. That's how it is, 5 points between 10th and 2nd. Like, it's that
tight. That's insane.
Yeah, it's a ridiculously, because all of a sudden I looked online, it says I was 10th place. Like, how the hell? And then I looked, it was 5 points. Okay, that's fair, because when you have about 3 guys just destroy your ratios, that'll happen. But then I was looking, I'm like, I'm still 5 points out of 2nd place. Like, it didn't shift that much. I'm like, this is wild. So it's so much to go. Like, I got some leagues where I've been hanging around like between 3rd and 5th, and the leader seemed like he was like 28 points ahead. It's now 10 points because they're falling back. Like, there is a lot of time for some stuff to go down. So I'd say don't give up unless you're in my leagues, and feel free to do that. That's fine. I'll take full advantage of that. But we'll keep you up to date the best we can here. If you guys have questions, bring them. Bring them to the show. We can help you guys get to the finish line. But until then, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm @BDentrick. This is Bench with Bubba, episode 770. Catch you all next time.